In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever the Lord sets a miracle text before us, especially like this one, it brings great joy. These great works, they give us a peek at how things are going to be for his faithful in the resurrection. When the Lord does a miracle, it confirms his word and promises of the past and his goodwill in the present for us. And miracles assure us that there are possibilities at his disposal in his loving fatherly care that are all beyond the doom and the doldrums that we commonly expect. We often expect that because of what we know sin damages and scars in this world that we live in. Now, all this is very similar. This opening of new possibilities, it's very similar to why we rejoice when a new baby is born. You know, babies are not as scarred as we tend to be when we're living in the world and we're full of actual sin without and within us that gets acted out upon. When that happens, it tends to corrupt us and makes us hardened to hearing what the Lord would say and to know the great possibilities that the Lord has before us as we would continue to follow him. That would be the case if we were not regularly hearing the Lord's forgiveness and being reassured and guided in the way of eternal life by Christ's word. But that is why it's so critical to be always hearing his word, because he always keeps an open heaven before us. Well, this is why we also keep children in the faith of their baptism, because little Mary Margaret, she, as we keep her from actual sin, which she will undoubtedly do, but as she hears God's forgiveness, she is reopened to knowing she always has a loving Heavenly Father that she can call on. You know, learning and education in general are intended to always bring new freedom and possibilities. We're getting into the first day of school time of year, and often when we also begin new Bible classes and catechism, when children learn a new word or a new concept or a skill, it makes the lights come on, as we might put it. It opens them to new freedoms, insights, and possibilities. Where they didn't know that word or that concept before, or have a word to express this thing that they're feeling or what they think they're seeing, well, they were stifled. They were perhaps banging their heads against the wall, or they might be treading on places where they're doing a whole lot of damage and not even knowing it. But when they learn that new word or that new concept, it brings joy, and you can see it in their faces. If you didn't know there was a light switch for the room or that dark hallway, you might just always be stumbling there, but the light makes all the difference. Similarly, a big thing that we commonly bring about in the Bible that we love to set forward is how God's word of righteousness, if you only heard that phrase, God's word of righteousness, well, you might think that God is only talking about laws and regulations, things that he has given in his law. But the righteousness of God, that's a different phrase from the righteousness of the law, like the Lord says in Romans. And this righteousness of God that is in what God does to us in Christ Jesus forgiving us, this surpasses the righteousness of the law. And so that makes all kinds of new possibilities. The law has us dead in sin. But the gospel, the word of the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, shows us his forgiveness and his way forward for us. You know, scientists like to hail also new discoveries and possibilities for similar reasons in our practical everyday lives. For example, when DNA was discovered, it opened all sorts of insights, possibilities for medicine. Or similar with the discovery of quantum physics, it opened all sorts of insights for the world's substructure that could be technologically applied. You know, I am grateful for health and medicine like anybody, but something I want to point out in relation to today's gospel is that in the big picture, it is highly debatable whether certain big discoveries, much less technological applications of them, are truly helping mankind as is often touted. You know, with every new technology, there's usually an evil or threatening use of it that is not far behind. And just take, for example, nuclear physics. Yay, we have nuclear power. It's very cheap. But we also have nuclear bombs that we're always having to contend with. There's always the threat. Faster internet also means faster hackers, need for more security, help from special technicians because we can't fix it ourselves. Is AI really making new possibilities, or is it just making us faster to get nowhere, making humanity dumber and less able? Did vaccinating for COVID as soon as we had a vaccine, did that really help? Doctors can do quadruple bypasses on 95-year-old men, but would it truly help them? This is similar to why our Lord today did not heal this man who was deaf and mute. Well, this is why he healed this man who was deaf and mute, but he didn't heal just anybody who came along. You know, sometimes it would not help the overall situation. Nor in the special way that our Lord did heal this man. And this is what I want us to take a look at, especially today. You know, when our Lord comes into this region of the Decapolis, he wanted to help people. Don't get him wrong. But when they bring to him this man who is deaf and mute, it says that they wanted him to lay his hand on him. But this puts our Lord in a very difficult situation. Opening this man's ears and tongues, it might help the man, but would this always be helping the wider situation that's going on around him? And Jesus groaning here, it says sighing in our translation, groaning is a better translation. It indicates this, that Jesus is put into a hard spot. That word for groaning, it has the same root word as we get the word for stenosis for. Maybe you've known somebody who's had stenosis of the spine. It means that their spinal canal is narrowing and it's constricting on the nerves. It's very painful. Well, that's kind of the thing Jesus is dealing with here. He is in a hard situation because he's not sure if these people will be helped or not. But yet he does what he does, you know, and thus he groans. We groan when we don't have words to express ourselves, when we plainly know what's going on. But this is a situation too deep for words. And so why is this groaningly painful for Jesus? Well, this was a very pagan area that he's in. Not long before this, maybe you remember the incident where he had been in this area and he had cast out demons from a man who was being tormented by them. He gave a command by his word to do that. And Jesus sent these demons into a herd of pigs, and the pigs went then running off of a cliff. Well, the people in this pagan area, they were taken aback by this very much. And they wanted Jesus to leave the area. Because, well, they just lost all kinds of money, losing this herd of pigs. And plus, this seemed like he might have a very powerful demon and was against them. But Jesus told the man who he had cast the demons out from to stay here and tell what the Lord has done for you. And so it seems many were maybe coming to faith, but they didn't really understand so well how Jesus works or why he does what he does. And so by what happened today, it seems they wanted Jesus to do like a wizard or a magician or a shaman, because when they come to him, and they ask him in the open public to put his hand on this man, like the magicians do. And so, well, if Jesus healed this man by just putting his hand on him, well, they're probably going to think that we can have other magic tricks, or maybe we can harness his magic power in some way. They would be looking for healing by doing a magic trick, but not by God's word, not by the word of the Lord of creation. And that is how he wants to work, where you hear his word. That is where the Lord promises to be gracious to us, and it has always been that way. This is why the Lord did not heal the man in the open public, for that matter, but he takes him aside like he does. And there, he doesn't place his hand on him simply, but he sticks his fingers into the man's ears and touches his tongue after spitting, and then he groans and he says, "Ephphatha." And as it says, his ears were open, his tongue was released. The word for release, by the way, it's directly related to the word for forgiveness. Forgiveness releases us. This Jesus opened this man's tongue to show the release of sin, the release from what sin had scarred. And what was the people's reaction? Well, they were amazed, astonished. This was beyond their words. There was no explanation other than what they had just seen. And that's why Jesus also wanted them to not tell anybody. That might seem a little strange. You see, what they presumed in seeing this very quickly, it could make them less receptive to the word of the gospel in the future. Because many people there might just write this off as, well, this was some sort of a magic trick from a magic man. They knew there was something special of Jesus, yes. But they might not have seen it is by his word that the Lord tells us that he reveals what he wants to do and that he powerfully does what he wants to do. A frustrating thing that I often encounter, and maybe you have, is when, you know, similar to all this, when people, to illustrate how people can often misunderstand something you do as a Christian, you know, I will often pray for somebody or speak to gospel to a certain member. But others who may observe that I am praying, they misinterpret what is going on with prayer. Prayer is not some mystical power in itself. It's not a natural power from within us to move some sort of a powerful God who otherwise doesn't present himself. Prayer is effective because of Christ's intercession for us when we trust in him. There is no power of prayer in itself that is apart from Jesus and faith. It is through the righteousness of Christ. It is through Christ alone, because of him, that God hears our prayer, not because of mere prayer itself. Or maybe they also think that religion is just one person's way of coping with life's difficulties, but mine is exercise or nutrition or meditation. And they just sideline religion in general. Or maybe, like hypocrites, many people think that God hears our prayers for our many words and our hard work and earnestness, instead of simply our confidence in Christ's work and merit. Many think a clergyman's prayer is more worthy than a layman's just because he's clergy. They take it with false presumption, but then they go away, especially if God grants some relief, they go off further in their false presumptions. You know, it is popular in the American mind, and it's often presumed that religion is about mere help for temporal, practical, everyday circumstances of life and just kind of coping. And it's often presumed, therefore, that dying would be the worst thing that could happen. And so, when they think that we are praying for somebody, that we're just wanting God to indefinitely extend their life. But no, for Christians, dying is not the worst thing at all. We're praying that this person, though, doesn't lose faith in God's goodness when they are feeling the pangs of death, when they are facing particular trials, when a person is in a very narrow or hard place, and when they can do nothing. That's why we prayed for Tara when she was going into labor. She was in a hard place and not wanting her to lose hope in God's goodness. Despite how many people around the deaf man today were going to misinterpret Jesus' opening of his ears and his mouth, well, Jesus did help this man anyway because he had compassion on him. He didn't want this man to just perish without hearing God's grace. He didn't want him to die without faith. That is why he opened the man's ears and tongue anyway. Faith is a special working of God that comes, as we heard, by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It's by the word that God opens our ears, our hearts. It does not come by magic, by laying on of hands, or traveling to holier plots of ground, or spontaneously without means, or by eternal election in the hidden mind of God outside of the word of the cross. No, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes through the word of Christ, the word that the Son of God came in human flesh obediently and willingly, going into the narrow place of death for our sins, and he rose so that we could be forgiven and live eternally, as well as by which he gives the Holy Spirit to keep us in the faith through all the narrow places of this life. This is what we need, first, foremost, above, and through all. Yeah, God does give us medicine. He gives us technology, food, money. Go on, keep on naming things. Yes, God does give us doctors and scientists and engineers and technicians, farmers and financial assistants. They are often the hands through which God does take care of us in our daily lives. But without faith in Christ, foremost and above all and through all, you know, none of those things, are they really helping? Take heed to this, because if you put more hope or reliance in medicine or exercise or technology or money more than Christ, that is how many go astray and lose faith, because they pay attention to everything else and don't pay attention to what Christ has done, what he is doing. They have no relation with him. This is like one of the reasons why you were taught in catechism, why it is important to know that you are not merely saved by Christ, but through Christ alone. Christ alone is who perfectly saves you. Because if it has anything to do with our works on any part, well, you are always going to be looking at our works and never looking at him, or thinking that he is insufficient in some way. But know that you are fully, he is fully sufficient to stand in for you, and you receive him simply through faith. This is why you need faith, why you need to be hearing God's word constantly throughout your life, lest Christ become a sideshow. Indeed, especially in nowadays in the medical field, we have seen where we have medicine practiced apart from Christ. When people go looking for medicine, they go looking for help in all sorts of areas, wherever they feel the slightest ailment, and yet is it truly helping? Medicine becomes more than just mere healing. It also becomes experimentation or augmentation, enhancement, etc. Gender surgeries are a top one that comes to mind here. If somebody thinks that they can resolve their supposed problems by removing genitalia, they end up scarred for life, and it's very well known. Abortion makes it a choice to have a baby instead of seeing the baby as a gift. If you want to extend your life indefinitely, you can just keep adding prosthetics and prosthetic after more prosthetic infinitely and keep on going shopping for prosthetics. But still, will it help you? We're still going to die. But we want to go through death with Christ, and that happens through faith in him. Christ wants you to be concerned with him alone. Everything else comes through and after him. He does truly care for you too, you personally, individually. Look at what he does with this man. He takes him aside personally and privately. And in the same way, he is concerned for you. Yes, we're all hearing the same gospel today, but the Holy Spirit, by Christ, will be speaking to your individual heart to comfort you in whatever challenges you are dealing with, what that you foresee in your life, whatever afflictions you have. It is the particular cross that the Lord has assigned for you to bear in your place in life. You are fitted for the cross you have, and the Lord also has an open heaven for you that he's invited you to take advantage of, because you can always pray for him and pray to him for whatever help you need. But he wants you kept in the true faith. This is why Jesus took this man aside privately to let him know that he is speaking directly to him when he speaks the word. And notice that Jesus does not point this man to help by setting up a GoFundMe page or having a place for better hearing aids that he can fix him with, as if just by having that hearing aid that it would be special for him in some way. But Jesus communicates to this deaf man by non-audible words. He touches the man. This is sign language here. It is a word indeed, and yet it's by pointing to this particular dead area and touching him at that. Why does Jesus, though, point to his ears particularly? Well, ears are the way that we normally do receive the word of Christ. There aren't too many sign language people out there by this deaf man. But it is by the word that he wants, the audible word that the Lord wants this man to hear in the future. And he also touches his tongue so that he can speak God's words plainly. Orthos, from which we get the word orthodoxy, is what it says when the man spoke plainly. These are the organs of faith by which God sustains us in true faith throughout our life. You know, with faith that knows Christ, who came to pay for our sins, to defeat our death, we can face any dangerous task if love for our neighbors calls for it. We can face what looks like a hard or disadvantaged road for the future, or poverty, or crippling ailment. The Lord's going to provide the benefits that we need to accomplish his task. But it is by his word that's what you need the most, because there will be difficulties. But faith can be exercised precisely in the midst of difficult circumstances, and often is. As you have the word, you will know his comfort. It is for you, precisely for you and your hard situation. When he on whom all things depend is trusted as our greatest need, we will then know him rightly, and we will be able to call on him rightly, and we'll have things in their rightful place. Then our prayers will rightly ask for our Heavenly Father's name, first of all, to be hallowed, for then his kingdom to become and his will to be done, before we go asking for all the other things about daily bread. We can ask for that. But we first want our relationship with the Lord, for his name to be hallowed, which is as we have faith in him and as we have his word in us. That's what we want first. For even in the most closed-off situation, where we still have Christ, we still have access to him and all of heaven and our Heavenly Father's help. It is indeed a narrow way, but it is the way of joy. It is the way of our Heavenly Father. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.